We've got some live updates. The White House correspondent dinner attacker to be arraigned in federal court today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Of course, we are going to be talking about the what ended up being the not White House correspondent's dinner. Of course, a lot of us were watching live as the event unfolded. Of course, the final situation ended with the attacker, the alleged potential shooter, being detained. And now we're going to have some big updates today, as today he will have his first time in court. We're following this really closely. There's a lot of details that are just coming out this morning. Obviously, this all happened over the weekend, but even because it happened over the weekend, that means a lot of the information is just starting to come together today. The White House is about to have a briefing very soon. We're going to make sure we're following that. If that happens while we're on the air, we can break in live to it just in case. So know if you're sticking around for that, we can go to it if we feel that it is necessary. I want to hear from you. After the events of this weekend, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, people are saying the third attempt on President Trump's life. And look, I would have to say this is the third assassination attempt that got this far, that we are this aware of. You have to be really understanding that this is probably events that happen, thwarted versions of this probably happen daily in the current, you know, tone of America. And probably, look, historically, probably as well. But now we have a situation where, for the third time, someone has gotten very close to President Trump. And at this one, almost the entire administration.
That's right. And when you look at really how close they were able to get, there's a lot of questions rising about the security of the event, more questions about the Secret Service, as we've seen this. And really, Logan, people say the third attempt, but remember, there's been a lot of others even that did make the news. Even back in February, someone that broke into Mar-a-Lago, had a shotgun,
right,
had a gas can, was taken out by security at Mar-a-Lago. But this is a constant threat. It's not like anything we've seen this public before, where there is always threats against a president that are taken care of, but it, not to this magnitude and to this public. We're going to get into some of the background on this, as well as what we expect today, that this individual, Cole Allen, will be arraigned in federal court on two preliminary charges. That will be using a firearm during a crime of violence and assault on a federal officer using a dangerous weapon. These charges are just preliminary, though. Expect the charges to be read, that there will be, I assume the government will ask for no bail in this case. And then we expect also that there will be more charges that flow from this as this investigation continues on. Federal law enforcement, obviously, Saturday night, the investigation began. We are just at Monday morning. Anything that could have happened and that goes towards motive, that could bring different charges, those will be forthcoming and could be a lot more severe, especially when you read this manifesto.
Yeah, I know. When you read this manifesto and you see, honestly, how oddly clear-headed this person is, clearly deranged individual, but this is not just the ravings of, you know, where a lot of times you'll get these and they're almost incomprehensible. Like,
right,
you can't follow what the person is saying. Someone who's having clearly a mental breakdown. That is not what this one stated. And now look, you may be like me, where you opened up your social media feed and immediately there were jokes. Immediately there was most people, I feel like in my feed, questioning whether this even happened, whether it was real. That is the society we live in right now, and we have to learn how to deal with it. On the same instant, you have Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band, out on their No Kings tour, having to come out and start the show or even in the show, praying for the president and for the safety of all of the administration, saying no political violence. These are the weird moments where, again, maybe we have to look back at ourselves and hopefully have some sort of self-reflection. It wasn't like Fox News was the only one in the room there. Okay, a lot of people were. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. When you saw that come across your feed, what are your thoughts? 1-800-684-3110. We also have a very special ACLJ week this week, the Faith Under Fire Double the Difference Challenge. We're going to talk about that a lot more coming up in the next segment. Seculo. Phone lines are open for you, by the way, if you want to call in. Noel Lauder, you're taking in all this information that we are providing. Look, they've now announced that it will be at 1:45 Eastern time that you will have the suspect due in court today. We'll be following that. Of course, we'll cover it as well tomorrow. There probably won't be a lot of information that comes from that. This is not, this is when they really just lay out the charges.
They lay out the charges. They ask the individual, do you understand the charges being brought against you, et cetera. There probably will be a discussion about whether or not there is bail. I expect the government to request bail be denied in this case.
So.
There hasn't been really any information if this individual has hired an attorney or if this individual will be getting a court-appointed attorney. We will understand that more as the day goes on. But what you will see, I would assume, is if the defense puts up some sort of defense for bail, I do not expect the court here to go along with that, especially in light of how big of news this is. I think also for maybe the safety of that individual whom is alleged to have carried this out. But I think it also says a lot about where we're at. You mentioned that the manifesto that was sent to the individual's family members about 10 minutes before he attempted this attack. There's reports that the family members got it and immediately started calling law enforcement,
right,
like trying to
stop
let them know something is going to happen. On top of that, you also, as you mentioned, you read it, it was so not clear-headed in the sense of...
There's jokes.
Right.
There's, it's not unlike, and this is going to sound horrible, it's not like someone who knew their life was likely coming to an end.
Even said, I told people I was leaving for a family emergency, which it may be because I may be in the emergency room later this evening.
Yeah, that's making jokes.
Those type of things, but also at the core of it is what the likes of the, especially members of the House of Representatives that are on the left, have been pushing. And you're seeing everywhere in the cesspool that is the leftists on Twitter, if they still exist, Blue Sky, things of this, where they're pushing this narrative that not only is President Trump, was he aware of everything that Jeffrey Epstein was doing, but that he was a part of it in this sinister global domination kind of way, utilizing this as a form of exerting and getting to power.
Yeah, accusing the worst of the worst of things you could be doing.
Right. And you're seeing that being so nonchalantly used on social media, the accusations against the president, but also hearing it from members of Congress. You saw that was part of what Eric Swalwell was trying to make a name for himself of before he was disgraced for crimes against women, is what will, and likely there's an investigation that he could even be charged in that.
Yeah.
That they were so lax in the way that they would use this and throw around accusations against the sitting president that it became normalized within these leftist communities to believe that is legitimately what Donald Trump is. And therefore, they are almost, in this case, it is incumbent upon them to take action because no one else will.
Yeah,
he wanted to change the world. He wanted these crimes to be off his hands that he thinks the president is doing. It is insanity, but it has become so normalized.
Yeah, this is not a one-off. The rhetoric that is used in this is something that, like Will said, has become very normal. And it's coming, by the way, also in your institutions, like I'm talking about your schools, your colleges. It's very regular. It's happening in your churches very regularly. Probably not the churches you attend, but a lot of churches are doing this. We know he was very involved in his church. We know he was very involved in academia. Clearly an intelligent guy. But when you start putting this kind of pressure on people and you start using this rhetoric that is indefensible, and you start treating people, not unlike Hitler, but even worse. I mean, you start throwing things around in terms of genocide. You start talking about abusing children. You start saying these things. The wrong person gets the information, and this is what happens. And sadly, I don't know if there's a way back. When the first reactions I saw were, this was fake, and let's all laugh at Erica Kirk for crying and leaving. I mean, that was my entire social media feed, let's say 15 minutes after it happened. After the initial reaction was we are now going to troll that this event allegedly was fake so he could get a ballroom, which, by the way, I mean, I don't think this fake is in the ballroom, but I just think this adds some credibility to what he was saying, which is you can't secure these locations enough for these kinds of events. By the way, we're one of the few countries that doesn't have some sort of situation like this. The Secret Service, you know, would much rather have 24/7 access to an event space instead of having to secure this, you know, something you can rent out for your wedding. And then, of course, we could talk about there may have been lax of security. Things may have happened. And then on top of that, you had someone whose husband was, within the last year, assassinated, also reliving this. And the first reaction isn't to go, oh, man, that's just horrible. She had to deal with this. It's to find the video clip someone took and to just make fun of her. We are living in some dark, dark times when that is the case. When that's your initial reaction, you can disagree with everything President Trump has to say. You can disagree with everything Turning Point USA has to be a part of. I understand that. We all have very different political points of view. You could be completely against the war. You could be completely against everything and still not making fun of people. Still not saying President Trump doesn't, you know, do that himself. Not belittling people. Not hurting people, specifically those who are maybe the ones who are the most sensitive to something like this. You know, we had a lot of friends in that room. Many people that have been on this show, whether they've been on this show as guests or been on the show as contributors, many of them were in that room. And of course, our minds all went to them as well. And we heard from quite a few of them later on. But what happened when you heard about this? Is that where your mind jumped? Did you see the same thing on social media? I do want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. And the ACLJ this week, we've been talking about, you know, we're starting it today. And originally it was called Faith Under Fire. We thought this morning, should we change that title? And I said, you know what? I actually think due to the circumstance, the fact that no, you know, lives were lost or anything like that, it actually couldn't be more timely. Because it's true. It's not just our faith. It's just the basic freedoms that we've had here. But in this special week here at the ACLJ, we are talking about some of the work the ACLJ has been doing specifically for, whether it's Christian pastors or public sidewalk preachers or pro-life activists, people who've been treating, who do peacefully protesting, those kind of things, because we are all in favor of that. It's when it gets to this level of hate that people become blind. And like Will said, and like I said earlier, when you read the manifesto, if you will, which is really just a long letter to his friends and family, you don't read it like I have many of the others, where you read this person who is completely mentally deranged and has said stuff that's, you know, they're not following their own train of thought, or maybe they think they're some sort of God. You know, we've had a lot of those kind of people. No, it's someone who says, this is specifically the reason. This is the reason that the news has laid out for me. This is what my school has laid out for me. This is what the church has laid out for me. And therefore I have no choice. Like Hassan Piker and those people coming out there saying, well, someone's going to do it. Who's going to do it? When you start saying those kind of things, you get to someone that's just on the edge. And this is what happens. And a lot of people have asked about security in hotels. They said, what is that going to look like now? Is that going to change? Is that going to change the way we now travel? Just like 9/11 changed the way we fly, does this change the way hotels are being done, where they will need to check your bags? They will need to go through things. We had the shooting in Las Vegas. That happened so many years ago, and nothing really ever changed from that. I don't know if there should or shouldn't, but we can have that discussion. Look, I recently stayed in Chicago, and they had me do a background check to stay in a hotel. And I'm not talking about like a, you know, show your ID. I'm talking about submitting to, they were going to go through my social media. They were going to go through those things. And I questioned whether I was going to stay there. Then part of me goes, you know what? This is because there are clearly some security threats that are happening in this city that need to be addressed. And I have nothing to hide. So fine, whatever. Go after it. But it did make me question it. And now when I see an event like this happen, you go, oh no, this is why. Because some of these major hotel chains probably started to feel a pressure that there were some vulnerabilities. Now, should that have happened the day the entire cabinet was at the hotel? Maybe next time the administration could just book out the hotel or say, you know what, for this night, no one except for our invited guests are staying here. We'll pay a premium. Or you build the ballroom. Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you. We got a few lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we are going to talk a little bit more about the ACLJ's work. We're going to talk a bit more about a big victory that came in. So we're not just going to only stick to this. We do know there's a press conference coming. We do know that the man will be arraigned later on today. We're going to keep all that coverage going. If it does need to be broken into live, we will. I believe it will be a little bit later in the day, but we will see what happens here. But again, the ACLJ work, this is actually the last week, last few days of our Double the Difference drive. And this specific week is our Faith Under Fire week. And again, we're going to change that title. I said, no, we shouldn't. Because we're fighting to defend you as your faith has come under attack. And really, your basic American values. We're going to talk about whether it's Christians who, you see what happened to this. You have Christians being handcuffed in the streets and detained just for being, you know, street preachers, things that have been very commonplace in America since our existence. We're going to discuss that more at length because our deadline's in 3 days and we can't do this without you. This is the last time you're going to hear from me for quite a while this month where we can offer this kind of opportunity where you can make your gift go twice as far. Go to aclj.org/faith. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. They're starting to fill up right now. 1-800-684-3110. Immediately after our broadcast, it looks like the White House will brief America, but also the press about the shooting that happened, or the attempted shooting that happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We will discuss that again when that happens. We'll get more information. That will be happening, looks like, likely after we are off the air. So just an update on there. Phone lines, again, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. But I did want to pivot just a little bit during this segment and talk about the work of the ACLJ. You know, this is, again, the last few days of our Double the Difference drive. This is where your donations go twice as far because there are other ACLJ members, which that's anyone who donates, and ACLJ champions, those people that give on a monthly basis. If you make a donation today, it unlocks their pledge. And they're ready to unlock. We have, you know, amalgamated as much as we can to where right now pretty much any donation can be doubled with the amount of people ready to pledge. So this is our Faith Under Fire week. And we said that because the ACLJ's work, it feels like more than ever, really, I'd say in the last 30 years, this work has it quieted down for quite some time. We still were working on it. We still would have issues bubble up. But it's been the last year, even. It feels like so many of these cases have come about, whether that's street preachers or pro-life pregnancy centers or protesters. Things that we were talking about in the 80s and 90s are now just as prevalent today. And maybe it's just because time helps people forget what the rules are. But here's where we are. And there was actually a victory. And, you know, this is sort of the... maybe it's a problem with the American way of thinking as well. We have a fundraising team. I'll be honest with you. We have a team that puts together. What's it going to look like? What are we going to do? How are we going to keep this all going? And one of the things, when you take sort of the heart out of it, they go, you know what, Logan? Because I always want to celebrate when we have these big victories or when a victory happens. Even if they're small, if they're big, they always have global ramifications. They go, Logan, victories don't really work for us. When we talk about our victories, which we have many of, you know, they don't fundraise. People like the fight, but they don't really care when you win. I don't think that's fundamentally true. It may just be in the way things are worded. It may be the way you react because you want to get in a fight. You don't want to just celebrate a fight. But understand, when we celebrate one of these, it is so we can celebrate and fund the next one and keep it going. That frees up the funds to then move on to the next case. So we only have a few minutes in this segment. I do want to play a special video presentation. Will, maybe you could set this up for us.
That's right. We've talked about this case, and we'll explain the victory after we play the video. This video, we were prepared to play today already. We were looking forward to talking about this because it's a fight that is ongoing. But this is a client of the ACLJ's, Jason Cantrell, who has been preaching outside of abortion clinics in Georgia and doing everything that he is told he's supposed to, of getting a permit to use amplification, to use a microphone. And the city had an unconstitutional provision that said, if anyone complains, your permit is null and void. That's called a heckler's veto. It's unconstitutional. And so someone complained. It was null and void, and law enforcement came to deal with it. Let's play this video, and then we'll explain the victory afterwards. Go ahead and roll it.
Mm-hmm. Jason. He is a passionate evangelist who works near an abortion clinic.
When the moms are coming in the driveway right here, we try to hand them information, which is a gospel tract and pregnancy info. So it has information for a pregnancy center where they can go and get free ultrasound, free pregnancy care, everything's free.
This is core to what the First Amendment is designed to protect, both his religious practice and his free speech. He wants to get out there and change hearts and minds.
Our pregnancy center in Atlanta, it actually helps the moms for 2 years. For 2 years, they can get free diapers, wipes, and clothes. So we are offering the tangible help, but we also want to offer them the spiritual help and through sharing the gospel with them.
Now, the City of Forest Park has instituted a permitting scheme. That's completely fine. They're allowed to do that. And Jason, in an effort to follow the law, got one of those permits. And those permits originally said he was allowed to use amplification at a particular place and at a particular time. And he always dutifully obeyed those limitations on his permit.
We were just out here preaching one day, like I've been doing for years. And all of a sudden, an officer came out and said, "We got a complaint, we need you to turn it down." And I said, "Well, multiple supervisors have been out here before, and they said my volume's fine."
The City of Forest Park, Georgia, essentially put a heckler's veto into the permit, said if anyone complains about this permit, it's revoked. Well, of course the abortion clinic complained. They tried to hold him criminally liable, and the ACLJ stepped in right away to make sure that that didn't happen.
They don't measure the sound out here. They don't use decibel readers. They don't measure the sound, none of that. It's just all revolves around a complaint.
It cannot be the case that speech which offends can be regulated and silenced more so than speech that is popular.
For 2 months, I had my sound permit revoked. I wasn't able to be heard out here. And as we know, when we went to court just recently, the charges were dismissed. So I feel like my free speech was violated.
But the city still insisted on putting this illegal and unconstitutional restriction on his sound permits. So we are taking this to a federal lawsuit. We are going to vindicate Jason's rights in federal court. We're going to do whatever it takes.
The process is the punishment. You know, we're going to charge you. We're going to cite you. We're going to drag you into court. And then, hey, we'll just dismiss the charges and, you know, just cause people a lot of time and a lot of money.
He has the right to speak out against abortion. And the ACLJ is going to stand with him to make sure that that message gets out.
Those of us who are street preachers, we want to come out and preach the gospel, preach the word of God. And we want to see God convict their hearts and change their hearts, change their lives. And we see children saved. You know, I see babies saved almost every week. As Christians, we've got to do what we're called to do. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to be out here preaching the gospel and being a voice for the voiceless.
So as we see there, that not only did we have a victory of getting the charges dropped against him, which is ridiculous. He did everything he was supposed to. Someone complained. And then he gets charges against him. However, now we have the City of Forest Park has agreed by formal stipulation filed in federal court that he will get a new permit with no complaint restriction whatsoever, Logan.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what the ACLJ fights for each and every day. Our team is actively involved. Again, you may see this and go, this is in Forest Park, this is in Georgia. What does it matter to me? Because even these wins, which may in theory seem little, those little wins all compile. So when people like you want to do something similar, we have precedent we could stand on and say, listen, not only is this a settled rule of court, but look, here's where we've challenged this before. You don't want to go down this route. Sometimes these can all be handled with just a letter saying, here's what the ACLJ is doing, here's what we've done, and here's what we're going to do if you don't. And you know what? That's often enough. Sometimes it's not, though, and you got to go to court, which, you know, for our team, sometimes the most fun part. You don't always want to, you know, sometimes a letter goes through and you're like, oh, man, we want to take it to court. But you know what? The ACLJ has been so at this for so many years, 40 years almost, that it's not uncommon that we can handle things very quickly, very aggressively.
That's right. And we're also not done. We want an even further victory here where we push for a final permanent judgment that strikes down the complaint restriction for everyone, not just Jason.
That's right. Hey, phone lines are open for you as we head into the second half hour. If you don't get us on your local station, get us wherever you get your podcasts. We are live every day, by the way, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can find that on YouTube, on Rumble, on ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app or the Salem News Channel. And beyond that, of course, on some of your local markets, Sirius XM, all of that. But if you don't watch us or listen to us live, the whole hour of the show is always available each and every day at ACLJ.org or however you get your podcasts. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. It is the last few days of the Double the Difference Drive and our Faith Under Fire Week, where we are really showing the work of the ACLJ's fight for religious freedom as it become very much under attack. And you know, we thought about changing the title after the events of this weekend. I said, no, it's even more important than ever that we discuss this. And look, a lot of you have questions, and I understand. When you have this, you know, what would be the third, fourth, I mean, it's almost endless amounts of assassination attempts on President Trump's life. This is one of the closer ones, again, stopped at this White House Correspondents' Dinner. After everyone was already seated, the event was about to begin. A lot of us were watching it live. Chaos ensued. And, of course, we've all seen the footage now where essentially a potential shooter had just ran, what it felt like, just busted his way through security, when security maybe had their guard down just a little bit, as most people were already in the building. Seems like they had already kind of cleared that room and been safe. And this happens. And of course, he was taken down fairly quickly. President Trump and the administration, a lot of them were removed within seconds. Again, maybe a few too many seconds. You can have that whole debate over what happens here. And of course, everyone is in shock. Everyone is having a sort of a chaotic response. We do have a call I want to take really quick from Jerry in Illinois. And hopefully, if you listen to Jerry, you'll want to call in as well. We got some lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I don't know if I can repeat verbatim that I said to your screener.
Oh, it's okay.
But
close enough.
This is my thoughts on this assassination attempt. First of all, you know, if it was legitimate and it had nothing to do with acquiring a ballroom, like I said to your guy, I'm on a church security team. And every Sunday, we sweep the entire building. We lock down areas that are going to have absolutely no use to anybody during the time of the church service. And I'll tell you what, if this was legitimate, then my security team from church could have came in and did a far better job of what occurred there, because given the level of leadership that was present at that event and who was present at the time, this should have just absolutely never happened. This man should have never been able to penetrate this wall of security with live ammo and guns and attempted to do what he should have done.
Jerry,
I could have stopped it. I got to finish this.
Don't get to finish.
Well, I mean, we only got 2 minutes left of the segment. I was actually going to say, for the most part, other than is it staged or not staged, because I don't believe this is a staged event, I do believe that you're not wrong in the sense of you look at just the bare bones facts of it. How did someone get in like this? That is something that needs to be taken care of. When you look at who needs to be in that room, you know, this is not the State of the Union. But you actually have more people, a more vulnerable location, a hotel ballroom, and more government officials. I mean, you're talking about almost everyone in that room, in that line of succession. So look, Jerry, I don't disagree with you in saying that a lot of church security seems like they're doing a better job at it. Now, look, your church is probably not under the consistent everyday threat. I mean, yes, we all are dealing with that a lot in today's society, but it is a little different. However, I understand looking at that footage and watching someone just barricade them, or you know, go through, just smash through the barricade on foot. Now, that being said, they were taken out very quickly.
Right. I mean, the Secret Service does say it shows our layers of protection worked.
Right.
However, yes, it is unsettling.
They're even in the building.
I do think that, as Jerry was saying, the fact that they got that close, very shocking for many people. As well as, I think we've been saying, there seems to be something wrong with the security of the Secret Service for quite some time now. But I also think we should dig into a little bit more how normalized this is a false flag has become in our society.
Yeah, because Jerry, the fact that you brought that up 3 or 4 times in that conversation just there in a few minutes, if this is real, if this wasn't just a ballroom, I know you're also doing security for your local church. Again, that showed me that this rhetoric is working its way throughout society. This is not just only far left. This is not whatever. If your church has full-time security, likely, you know, this is not where it should be. But I appreciate your call. Look, I don't disagree with a lot of your statements, but that is interesting that has become such a normalized statement. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell. Sekulow. We do have some phone lines open if you want to call in the next segment. 1-800-684-3010. Go ahead and get in line right now. We are joined by Rick Grinnell. Rick, of course, we want to first start this by sharing our prayers and condolences to you and your family. We know it's a heartbreaking loss, the passing of your mother, who we know has been a constant light and someone we've talked about so much so on this broadcast, as someone who was very excited for all the work you've done and, of course, has been one of the shining lights for Jesus for so many years. It's always been great to hear stories from her. So we wanted to start that. We know our team sends our prayers to you, you know, perpetually. I know that it's been a interesting few weeks or a few days for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think, you know, it's been a devastating week. My mom survived cancer 4 times, and we thought we just really had her through all these issues. And then she had another separate unrelated issue just come up. And so we lost her pretty quickly. It was devastating. But, you know, I do have to say that my mom in the midst of decision time was so adamant that she was ready to see Jesus. She was so calm. She was so focused about getting her reward and just was a calming presence for the rest of us that were losing it. And she never wavered. And there's a lot of comfort in that, even though it's obviously something that people deal with every single day. But for me, it's my first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, again, our prayers with you, your whole family. It feels like part of our family. So I understand here. I know for a lot of our viewers, we're seeing the same thing. But with that, Rick, so we don't just spend time here. We got to talk about what happened this weekend. I know you've been pretty actively discussing it as well. And not just Stagecoach and all some of the stuff I saw looked like a pretty good time. But also this moment happened. We've all been talking about it. Of course, this attempted assassination attempt once again on not just the president. We're talking about pretty much the entire cabinet that was there. But then this conversation that all surrounds the entire wake that comes after where my social media thread became, this was fake. It became, look at Erica Kirk, let's make fun of her. It became a caller who just called in, who's doing security for his church, who said, you know, I think our security is doing better, but I don't even know if I think this is real, and here's why. We know sort of what spurs this rhetoric. We can see it. You have people backpedaling already, and then you have people going further. You have a Jimmy Kimmel going further, and then you have Bruce Springsteen going on stage saying, you know, that's not really what I meant. I mean, we got to pray for the president. There can't be this, kind of political violence. And of course, he has an entire tour that essentially, as much as, you can be a fan of his music, has been inspiring people against the president of the United States. We live in a very strange time where all of this is far too accepted.
Look, I have to say that I think it's pretty clear what the left and what the media have done to President Trump. They don't like him coming to Washington. They believe it's their Washington. They believe that they've got their rules. And President Trump comes in and completely upends the place, doesn't play by their rules, reforms the place, fires people. This is what we need in Washington. But the Washington types feel like this is a threat to their existence. And so they have rhetoric that's outrageous. What do you expect when you call someone a Nazi, that when the mentally unstable are going to hear those words and they're going to react because they think it's a good thing. If you're calling this person a Nazi, if you're calling this person a threat to democracy, if you're calling this person pedophile and a rapist, which is what the Democrats and the media constantly do, you cannot be surprised that mentally unstable people are going to hear those words and think that they have to take action. Don't be surprised that there are consequences to your words. And I'm not saying that I'm not for free speech, but I am saying that there are consequences to free speech. Well, and so you get to put yourself into that category of charging people up who are mentally unstable.
And when you see what happened with Nora O'Donnell, where the president after this went on CBS, normally news organizations historically say, we will not publish the manifesto. We will not say the name to glorify someone that tried to do these types of things. When you have Trump derangement syndrome,
you find a celebrated journalist like Nora O'Donnell willing to read a line and then, in the most disingenuous response ever, after reading the line to the president that you just referenced, Rick, then when he says, "This is ridiculous, I am not that, and that's what the Democrats have called me," she goes, oh, you thought it was, why do you think it was about you? Like, it was one of the most infuriating moments I've seen, because that's not journalism. That's a liar political hack going after, using the opportunity to use your journalistic platform to further the rhetoric that gets you in these situations. And as Logan and I were talking, you read what was in the manifesto, and it didn't, it's obviously a crazy person that would go and do this, but it didn't read as someone who was just out there coming up with these like hallucinations about the world. They were just doing what they were told by Democrats in Congress.
They've been doing this. This is their rhetoric. And, you know, the faux reaction of Nora, like, oh, I'm surprised that you think that this is about you, is also phony. It's also Washington. They've turned the president into something that he is not. And that's what really makes me angry, because I know this guy. Let me just give you a little taste. 5 hours after my mom passed away, literally 5 hours, I get a phone call from President Trump. In the midst of him dealing with the Iran issue, I see it on TV, they're talking about Iran. I'm actually happy that I missed this one phone call from the president, because he left an amazing voicemail that my whole family got to hear. And it was great condolences for our entire family, extremely heartfelt. But then fast forward, after the White House Correspondents' Dinner, late night on Saturday night, very late, the president called me again to just check in, to say, how are you doing? I know it's been a couple of days and I know how close you were. The president met my mom in the Oval Office a couple of times. And he just is this person who cares. That happened literally a couple of hours after this White House Correspondents' Dinner attempted assassination. This is the president that people do not see.
Well, and what I think is such a concern going forward is that we are at this moment in time where people are becoming numb to this, and where you're seeing a person put out a manifesto, be captured, not actually be taken out. So there will be a day in court. We will find out more about kind of what radicalized to this level. But it is normalized also for people to write out publicly minutes afterwards, be like, clearly this was a fake, staged false flag to get a ballroom. I just don't know where we go from here.
Well, look, I think, you know, first of all, we're a society that allows free speech, so we're never going to take that away. We need to say that all the time. But we need to make sure that there are consequences. I think it's good to mock people who have crazy speech. I think we take, X, and we take shows like this and others to highlight the crazy speech and let them know there are consequences of societal mocking. And maybe people don't care about their reputation, but we need to be able to show radical people in these moments as saying this was faked. I mean, come on. If you're not there and you're sitting on your couch somewhere in another city and you just are seeing snippets, you don't understand the consequences of what you're saying. And then it goes viral because everybody retweets your crazy comments. But of course, it wasn't staged. You could see the fear on Melania Trump's face when she heard the shots. You could see it.
Yeah, Rick, I'm really disturbed by a lot of it. And I'll be honest, I was disturbed by one of our callers who had some legitimate questions about security surrounding the president and security surrounding the administration. I understand those, saying, look, you know, how'd the person get here? How'd they get that far? Those are all questions we can ask. I think that's fine to ask those questions. It's when you start with almost the assumption that your first thought, and the assumption is, it's very rational to think that, of course, the government would do this. Of course, they would stage this situation. Of course, this is normal. And, you know, we only have a minute left. I do think as much as there will be a brief call to, of course, let's call everyone to calm down the rhetoric and those kind of things, we know how quickly this turns right back around. And even on the Jimmy Kimmel, that happened within hours. I mean, that may have been pre-taped before, but of course, it still, you know, went to air.
Yeah, you look at Barack Obama kind of saying we don't even know the motives. The guy right. told us the motives. And by the way, Nora O'Donnell read some of those motives. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But, you know, we need to be able to have faith in our government. And we don't have faith in our government because of the past mistakes and the past lies. I think President Trump is changing that by being more transparent.
All right. Thank you, Rick, so much for joining us. And again, our condolences to you and to your family as you're going through all of this. But no, we so appreciate your time that you spend with us in the ACLJ audience. We're glad you could hop on here today. I do want to hear from everyone who is calling in. You call in right now. We do have a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Of course, support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org, during our Faith Under Fire week. Last segment of the day. I want you to be a part of the ACLJ if you can. You just heard from Rick Grinnell. Always great to hear from him. It is our special Faith Under Fire week. It is the last few days of our Double the Difference drive. And look, you know, you've probably been like, Logan, you've been saying that for 8 weeks, it feels like. And you're right. I have. And now we are wrapping it up. It's going to be a while till there's this opportunity presents itself once again where we have enough funds and resources pledged that we can offer these kind of big moments where you can make your gift go twice as far. So I'm going to ask you today, if you see the QR code on your screen or if you're listening, just go to aclj.org and have your donation doubled. We are close to meeting budget for this month, a little bit behind. We need your help. aclj.org. If you like this show, if you like our legal work, either way, it all goes to the same place. It's all being funded. Again, that's because, you know, I'm looking at this team here, incredible team on our video team, incredible team running our social media accounts, of course, our legal team. Be a part of it as well. None of it happens without you. That's at 1-800-684-3110. We're continuing the conversation, of course, about the White House Correspondents' Dinner that did not happen due to the thwarted assassination attempt on not just President Trump, by the way, President Trump and really the whole cabinet when you read the manifesto that was written by the gunman, the alleged gunman. Later on, you know, there were jokes that were flying, there were commentary flying, the calls were coming in even in this show where they questioned whether it was real. That is the sad reality where we're living in right now. With that, I want to take one of your phone calls and I'm going to keep it going. So if you want to call in, great time to do it. You got about 5 minutes probably left to call in, maybe less than that. I'd say call in the next 2 minutes. If not, you may not be able to make it on the show today. Let's go to Marion in Texas on line one.
Yes, how are you doing today? I just wanted to say that a lot of people aren't going to understand what I'm about to say, but I was glad that nobody got hurt, but I was glad that the guy did shoot the policeman in the chest, because had he not shot fired a shot at anybody, and thank goodness he didn't get injured, they would have started coming up with, well, he didn't really have intentions to hurt anybody. Look, he didn't shoot anybody. Yeah, he had knives. Well, what are you going to do with knives and stuff? So I'm glad that he did get shot so that they can't go through with that, and they're going to go ahead and be able to process, you know, go after him for the full extent of the law. So
Marion, now there is some conversation surrounding that. We're going to find out a lot more probably here in the next couple hours in the press conference of how, what that happened. But we do know there were a lot of weapons.
Well,
we know
that's right.
Regardless of who got shot, how they got shot, or, of course, the attack, this was someone who had very clear motives and was there with multiple high-powered weapons.
Well, he had a shotgun. He had a pistol, a 38 caliber pistol, as well as knives, multiple knives. And to that point, that coupled with the manifesto that was sent to family members that is talking about wanting to carry this out, plus traveling by train from California, going through Chicago to Washington, D.C., for the investigators and the prosecutors, that shows the intent. It shows that he had intent to avoid airports, to get firearms into the District of Columbia, to carry these things that were armed. He had intent. So even without the member of Secret Service that was hit in the plate carrier, and they were saying is doing fine, was actually the combination of his plate carrier and his phone stopped a bullet. I think even without that, they have more than enough to go forward with. They're talking about, they have these two preliminary charges, but that more will follow, even assassination codes that could lend life in prison.
Yeah, so this
individual is not just getting hit for this assault against a police officer with a deadly weapon charge. That is just so they can be detaining him right now.
I'm not going to be surprised when he becomes some sort of weird hero of this far, far extremist, like a Luigi situation, where you have him lauded as this political icon, if you will. It feels like it's all headed that way.
Well, and you're going to see a weird hypocrisy, because the same people that are saying clearly it's a hoax are going to be praising him as being some sort of vigilante hero, because that is how the mindset of these deranged individuals work, that they can make him a hero even though they still don't believe it was real.
Right. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Lynette in New York. Lynette, go ahead.
Thank you. God bless you. I just wanted to say, thank you to everything that all of you are doing, and God bless you. But I just wanted to say that for all of us who appreciate and even really love and respect Donald Trump, and who love America, and who appreciate free speech, this needs to be an opportunity for us to be ready to take fire and take aim, but not with bullets, but with positive speech. Here's a list here of all the reasons that I am glad about President Trump being our president. Here's all the positive things that I've seen. Here's the reasons that I appreciate, and all of us need to speak up and not be silent and not be shocked or whatever else, but we need to fire back with positive free speech.
Lynette, I agree with you. I'm only cutting off for time, and I appreciate so much, by the way, that you're an ACLJ champion and you get it. But not unlike the conversation I had earlier when I was doing the fundraising pitch, is that, you know, like I said, when victories, a lot of times my fundraising team will say, you can't talk too much about victories because people want to know about the action currently happening. They don't really care once you've done it. It's a lot easier to make bad news than it is to make good news. It's a lot easier to get clicks on something salacious than it is to get clicks on something positive. There are plenty of good things the president has done. Look, there's probably plenty of bad things the administration has done. True for every administration, probably in the history of time. By the way, it's the truth for every human being in the history of time, other than Jesus Christ. Take that aside. All of us have had good and bad days. All of us have made big mistakes, and all of us have had some big successes, hopefully. But it's a lot easier to dwell on the mistakes. It's a lot easier to dwell on the negative. It's a lot easier to dwell on, look, not because President Trump doesn't do this also as well. It's become a bit of, sadly, America. In probably the world, by the way, in 2026.
Well, and that's one thing I did want to say as well. We had a caller that was up but didn't hang on the line. It was Julie from California. I don't know if it's the longtime caller and supporter of ACLJ, Julie, but said this. The summary that I saw in our screener here was that it said Trump's rhetoric is a primary problem of this as well, and I don't disagree to some level that the rhetoric is out of control, but I would also say I think that what the president's rhetoric is also is a symptom of where the American division was headed even before his election, that it had become so people on the right had felt so marginalized during the Obama years that it was refreshing to hear a brawler out there, someone that would just say what they wanted to hear about how the left treated people of faith, conservatives, and just say, I'm going to fight back at this establishment. It is completely different calling fake news, you are fake news, and saying this person is literally Hitler over and over, and then ratcheting it up even more, saying he is a part of some global network that people feel like the only thing they can do is what this individual felt like they could do. Those are two very different things.
Yeah. Hey, with that, that's going to wrap up our show for today, for this Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. And of course, we are following all of us. If anything needs to break, we will. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel. Follow us on all social media platforms. If you didn't catch the full show, you can find it archived later on, immediately following at aclj.org or however you get your podcasts. We are there. Again, it is Faith Under Fire Week during the final days of our Double the Difference drive. Be a part of it today. Have your gift go twice as far right now. We'll be back tomorrow on Secular.